Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Mark chapter 12, and if you find it, shout praise the Lord. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, and we're going to read as soon as I get to it. Okay, here we go. The Word of God says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him. He said this. He said, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" Amen? So we're going to kick off this. It's going to be eight parts, and we broke them up into four, then we'll do another four. But we're going to be talking tonight about the four dimensions of extraordinary leadership. Four dimensions of extraordinary leadership. I got this from a lot of this material from a book that I have read years ago. And tonight we're going to be talking about from ordinary to extraordinary. And basically the theme or the thesis of this book is the power of leading from your heart. Everybody say your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And so the beginning of this message, this is what we're finding. We're finding exactly what Jesus said. How are we to love God? With our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with our strength. And so this is going to help us with our leadership. And so let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Let's ask for a special anointing upon it. Father, we love you. We're so thankful tonight for this privilege to begin a series. You've blessed us with this. And we want to move from ordinary to extraordinary. And we want to understand, we want to tap into leadership the way that you want us to lead, not just what business or CEO or different organizations, sports leagues, whatever they may be, would use their input. But Father, we want your input because we want to lead the way you've designed us to lead. So Father, let this word go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we're going to talk about moving from ordinary to extraordinary. Someone had said this. They said the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra. How many believe that to be true? That's the difference. Really, when you look at the words ordinary and extraordinary, it simply is the extra. And Brother Vernon, I believe that's what God is going to be calling the church to do in these last days, is to go a little bit further than we've been, do a little more than we've done, say a little more than we have said, listen a little more than we have listened before, right? And I can go on and on. But that is the key part, is doing the extra. I love the definition. Mark Sanborn says this definition of leadership is this. He defines leadership as an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. And I love that. That's a great, great definition. So how would you define extraordinary? How would you define it? What would you think if someone says, what is extraordinary? If your child came to you and says, what is extraordinary? Would our mind go to, a superhero perhaps? He's got super strength and he's can do extraordinary things. Or maybe someone that is just so gifted beyond ability and they're artistic, they're smart, they just can do their job so well. And we would say, well, that person, we would look at their traits and we'll say that this person's extraordinary. Extraordinary, and on your paper, and I will always refer to you writing this down, extraordinary is defined, and it'll be on your screen, defined as going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. It's exceptional to a very marked extent. Extraordinary is rare. It's uncommon. It's unique. And I may be going fast tonight. And so if you have trouble seeing, I would encourage you to come set up a little closer where you'll be able to see this on the screen. But that's what those things are. Extraordinary is defined as going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary, exceptional, rare, uncommon, unique. An important and crucial fact that we must not overlook when we are reading God's Word is this. God uses, everybody say, ordinary. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. God uses ordinary people. I mean, there's scripture that backs this up. You know, we see the Apostle Paul even talking about that and saying, you know, it's not the wise and the strong and the rich that God, not to say that God cannot use those people. He does. He uses anybody that is will make themselves available to him. But we see throughout the pattern throughout Scripture that God is using the simple. God is using fishermen. God is using simple people to do His work. And I think this is really important for us to understand. Jim Rohn, excuse me, I got a little important, did I get ahead? No, I didn't. Jim Rohn said this. He said, the challenge of leadership, and it should be on your screen, the challenge of leadership is to be strong, but not rude. Be kind, but not weak. Be bold, but not bully. Be thoughtful, but not lazy. Be humble, but not timid. Be proud, but not arrogant. Have humor, but without folly. And I think that's really important for us to understand when we're talking about being leaders. And that's what God is doing. He's helping us to understand the four dimensions of extraordinary leadership. And one of the key components in any system of leadership is this one word. It is influence. I've seen it, you know, the John Maxwell books. When I was beginning to pastor and getting my license, that was, it's okay. I think there's much better material than John Maxwell. He has great stuff, but I think there's much better material out there now. But that was an assignment. We had to take the John Maxwell leaderships series and understand. And he always talked about influence. And influence is so important. How do you define influence? I want you to think about that right now. How do I define influence? What is influence? You know, I really believe it's silicon, okay? I believe it's sinking sand. But there's a lot of people they call themselves influencers. They go on social media, and some of them are traveling all over the globe, and they are influencers. They talk about food, maybe it's the outdoors, and they're just quit their jobs. And there's the reason I call it silicon sinking sand is because what are you going to do when there's no more computers, right? Or there's no more electricity or whatever. You know, it's not a real stable environment, especially if you have a government perhaps that's going to put restrictions on social media, which is what they're talking about doing. And so how would you define influence? And this is influence. Influence, and it's on your screen. Influence is defined as the capacity of power. Everybody say power. It's the capacity of power. It's the capacity of power of persons or things to be a compelling force or on or produce effect on the actions, behavior, opinions, etc. of others. So it's a powerful force. Influence is so important. And I think this is very crucial for the church to understand, especially in leadership, that you are influential, whether you show up or not to church. Your actions speak louder than your words. And this is something I have wanted to convey. I've tried to convey for 17 years now to a board, to leadership, to our pastors, how important it is to be faithful. Because if you are not in your seat at church, people are watching you. And they're wondering, well, if somebody's not here and they're in leadership, I don't have to be here. Because, you know, and it's a sad reality. But that is what happens. Influence is powerful on good terms and on bad terms. And so it should be noted that we all have influence on others. But that does not guarantee that you become a good leader. Doesn't guarantee that you become a great leader. Leadership begins with influence. But leadership isn't just simply influence. Leadership begins with influence, but leadership isn't just simply influence. I love what Jeannie Catron writes in her book. She says, I believe that at its core, the word leadership is an observation of greatness. Observation of greatness. Leadership is really observable in the moment, but it is recognizable in outcomes. And man, that is so powerful to even consider and to think. You know, and so I got some great quotes about leadership. Here they are. I thought these were really good. The only definition of a leader is someone who has followers. Another great quote on leadership is, leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality. Another one, and this one's from Bill Gates of all people, as we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. I was I was in my fourth year of a youth pastor, and here at Gospel Lighthouse. I had been in a youth ministry prior to coming to Gospel Lighthouse, but I was in my fourth year here at Gospel Lighthouse, and this pastor from, I think it was the Brooklyn area. I don't know for sure where they were at. It was over by Jonesboro, and this pastor had just built this nice little family life center. It's like a 40 by 60, and it was really high, and he asked me to come and do service. For the youth, they had about 30 kids, and then we brought all of our kids with us and had a great time. And the pastor had this young youth leader, and I guess the guy was Brother Dale. He was probably in his 20s, early 20s, and they were just asking. They cornered me that evening. They cornered me, and they began to ask me for some advice. You know, what do we need to do here? You know, I'll never forget Charles Scott, who moved on to work at in Tulsa, at the Bible school in Tulsa. Charles Scott told me one time, he said, hey, you want to be successful in the youth ministry, all you got to do is have a keyboard and have pizza, and that's all you need. And I thought it was kind of funny. So I gave him some advice. And one of the things I said to this pastor, I said, listen, you've got this, especially this youth pastor, I said, listen, you got to learn to delegate. And one of the things that we did in our youth ministry when we were here at Gospel Lighthouse is I began to teach the kids how to play instruments. I thought this was kind of unique that Carson came up on the piano, and he has an ear. Carson has an ear to play. And, you know, he needs some leadership, some people to kind of help hone in on that skill. He was playing some things on the piano. And so I taught Stevie how to play the bass. I gave the drumsticks to Ramona. There was no teaching her. She picked it up just like that. I taught Chris Pinker the guitar, other people the guitar, and I just brought them all together, and I said, let's just play. And I said, delegate. Then I also taught them how to set up the sound equipment, how to monitor the EQs and monitor the power amps. And I taught them how to be a roadie, to roll the cords the right way, because we had to set up on Wednesday nights, and then we had to take them down. You remember that, Brother Vernon? We had to set up on Wednesday nights, and we had to take all the equipment down and then get ready for gym night on Friday night, because we had a lot of things going. And I just taught them how to load things on a trailer, how to do all these things, just delegate, because if I had done it all by myself, I would be burning out. For the past, this is 2025, so since 2018 on this computer, I have put purposely and left it up there, anybody interested in running the computer or being a sound tech or, you know, whatever, please come see me, because it will take a lot of them. When I come here, I tell people, Pastor Craig was here one day for a funeral, and I showed him all the equipment that I had, and I tell people, I said, hey, it's like starting up the Millennium Falcon to run this thing. I make it, don't I, Haley? I make it as simple as I can. You know, it's usually down to two buttons, but there's a lot of other little things that you have to do to get it sounding right online and recording and everything else, and then everybody else sings. So delegating is so important. And I think Bill Gates had it right. Here's John Maxwell's quote. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. That's what John Maxwell says about it. And then another good quote is, leadership is a process of social influence, which maximizes the efforts of others toward the achievement of a goal. So this brings me to my life point. Get ready to write this life point down. Life point here, number one, is to lead others well, we must first lead ourselves better. I'm not going to ask somebody to do something that I'm not willing to do. Now, because of what I've got going on, I'm limited physically. I'm really limited But I'm not going to ask somebody to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And I think this is very important. And one of the best, Brother Dale, this will help in the ministry where God is going to promote you into the field of ministry He has for you. One of the best things is you. When I finish a message, when I'm sitting at the computer, the first person I say, how do I apply this to my life is moi, is me. I ask myself that question constantly. And then like this week, guess what? I was tested almost every point of last week's message. I mean, I'm always looking inward, and I'm very, it's important to do that and to say, hey, how am I being better? What do I need to better my life? So I've been biking, I've been fasting, I've lost, I'm not going to tell you how much, but I've lost a lot. I'm trying to prepare for knee surgery. You know, there's a lot of things I'm doing. When I got on that bicycle, I'll tell you, I haven't rode a bike since my wife and I were newlyweds. And that's almost 30 years. And I got on that bicycle, and I told, like, I think it was Brother Dale, I told somebody else, it was Jeremy. I told Jeremy, I got on that bicycle, he was at the house, and I got on there, and I said, Jeremy, it was just like I'd never forgot how. Now, I rode a Harley for several years, so it wasn't really a problem. But I got on that, like today, I got on that bike, and I just, you know, I have my, you know, my own little routine. And I got to the point where I started getting really dizzy. And I thought, oh man, this is not good for me to be have one of those episodes when I'm biking. But you just got to press through it. And so I want to better myself. And if I'm bettering myself, it's going to give me the strength to help better the congregation, the followers of Christ. So to sum up the ability to lead successfully from your heart, lead successfully from your soul, our mind, and our strength is to employ these things, these strategies. Employ relational heart, which is our heart, equity to help others catch your vision, which is your strength, and manage, which is your mind, manage them to help accomplish the goal. But first, learning to lead yourself is your soul. All you have is your soul. What is a profit if a man gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. So this is very important. And I know that you'll have some time to possibly write that down. Extraordinary leadership, the second one here. Extraordinary leadership, and it should be on your screen. Extraordinary leadership is found in a leader who has searched to discover his or her authentic self, and from that place influences others to accomplish great dreams through intentional relationships, which is your heart. So here's those words again. Relationships, your heart. Spiritual awareness, your soul. Wise counsel, your mind. And relentless vision is your strength. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to write those down because I know I went going a little bit fast, but I don't want to be here forever tonight. And so I really believe that God is helping us, and that's what He wants to do. He wants us to dive into our heart, our strength, our mind, our soul, do exactly what the Word told us to do, how to love God with all of those traits in our life. And God's Word will help us to assess these skills if we want to truly become extraordinary leaders. How many tonight want to move from ordinary to extraordinary? In every aspect, me, in every aspect of my life, I want to move from ordinary to extraordinary for the glory of God. Let's go back to the book of Mark chapter 12. It's going to be on your screen. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answering them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered this, and here we go. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How many are grateful tonight that God is a one God? God. Amen. Thank God for that. There's none like Him. There's none beside Him. There's none above Him. He is the one Lord, one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these. So to lead others well, we must first lead ourselves better. I believe the only pragmatic way to accomplish this, what we're learning, is to take inventory of ourselves and find out where we truly are as leaders. And so I have those with me, but I'm not going to hand them out. Well, I guess I could hand them to you right now. And you don't have to do it tonight, right this minute. We're not going to go through them. But it's really going to help us. I believe it's going to help us to, you know, find out the truths. Maybe I didn't bring them. I don't think I have them with me. I don't have them with me. Thank you. Thank you, Haley. But I will bring them. I do have them printed out, but I don't have them, all of them with me. But I think when we take this assessment, and I'll give it to you next week, it will help us. It's going to help us to kind of define where we're at, who we are, good traits, good qualities, poor qualities. I think this is very important. And so we're going to see these dimensions in this in these lessons, and we're going to find out what these dimensions are and how we can identify with them. But extraordinary leadership doesn't magically happen. It's on your screen. Extraordinary leadership doesn't just magically happen. In fact, are those papers on the back of your papers? Look and see if they are. Okay, there you go. So you actually have them. All right, I stapled them all together. I couldn't remember if I did or didn't. And so you guys take those and you can look at them and be honest with yourself, and you circle the ones that describe who you are today, and not the statements that describe you to who you want to be. You want to be honest. You want to circle those who you are right now. Okay, let's move on. So extraordinary leadership doesn't just magically happen. We have to study. Everybody say study. We have to learn. We have to pray and continue at it. Learning from every situation, circumstance, and opportunity. And so Jesus even highlights that. He says, if you're my disciples, you're going to continue. Everybody say continue. You're going to continue in my word. That is so important. It's just not, you know, just don't read it, a scripture, and then that's it. It's your diet. I mean, you're eating, you know, is the bread of life. You're eating that. So you become a leader when you develop the skills and the competence to put the influence into action. And you become an extraordinary leader when you do the extra. Everybody know this. Do the extra. When I was in football, our football captain, Tim Kirk, very, very big guy. He played tackle. And he's just like, for a high schooler, I mean, he was a monster. He ended up going into the Marines. But he would always say, you know, it's always the one who comes up early, shows up to practice early, and the ones that leave practice late. The one that's really, you know, eager, doesn't miss practice. And I think that's very important. It's people that are doing the extra, staying a little bit longer and fellowshipping in the church, coming a little bit earlier and praying, not always flying by the seat of our pants, running late. Hello. Am I preaching or am I meddling tonight? Can someone help me tonight? But you know what I'm talking about, right? It's doing the extra. Look at Mark 12 and 28. It's going to be on your screen. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, he said, which is the first commandment? So what did Jesus reply? What was his reply? Jesus' reply was a biblical fundamental truth that we teach is known as the Shema. The Shema, S-H-E-M-A. It's on your screen. The Shema. It's on your screen. Is it? It should be. Jesus' reply was the biblical fundamental truth known as the Shema. That's where we're at, Pastor Crystal. Should be on your screen. We as Christians call it the Great Commandment, but the Jews call it the Shema. There we go. That's it right there. Very good. So that's the Shema. You hear that quite a bit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And so we as Christians call it the Great Commandment, but this Jewish teaching, they call it the Shema. The Shema is recited three times a day as a part of the Jewish devotional life. Not asking you to do that, but that's just how important it is, this commandment it is to the Jewish people. And if it's important to them, don't you think it should be important to us, right? I think it is, the Great Commandment. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says this. It says, when the Shema is found, both a fundamental doctrine, truth, and a resilient obligation. within the Shema is found. There is an urgency connected to the teaching. The word Shema demands that the hearers respond with their total being to the fact and demands of this essential revelation. Love God and love others. Hey, that's it. Love God and love others. I mean, can we do that? If we want to move from ordinary to extraordinary, we're going to have to love others, even if it means to love the unlovable. Do you know anybody right now that's unlovable in your life, in your sphere of influence? Are there unlovable people, or is there somebody at the... I was going to say somebody at the bank. Let's not use the bank. Let's say, is there somebody at the school? Somebody at your job? Is there somebody that you work with? Whatever it may be. Some relative, perhaps. Is it a cousin that you just feel like is unlovable? Somebody in your life. You know, that's being the extra. Is, hey, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love them. I'm going to walk in love. No matter how hard I grit my teeth, I'm going to do that. So remember, to lead others well, we must first lead ourselves better. So our obligation, it's going to be on your screen, our obligation, and it is to lead is based on loving God first and to love others second, right? Within the small or the great commandment is where extraordinary leadership is found. Our life as leaders means leading with all, everybody say all, leading with all of who we are for the benefit of God and others. You know, my beautiful wife, we've been together as a couple for going on 34 years. Actually going on 35 years. And that's really a long time to be together. We'll be celebrating 29 years next month. And I think this is amazing. But you know what? I want her to love me with everything that she has, except that her love is reserved for God. Because I understand that I'm not number one in her life. God is number one in her life. And it's same thing with me. I want to love her with that. And I had a lesson when we first dated. God gave me a lesson about that. Remember that? But so now I want to love her with every part of my being. And I do. But I have a love toward God that is reserved. That's only to Him. Right? And so we must love one another for that to be healthy and that for to be strong. And I think this is so important. Our life as leaders means leading with all of who we are. And I want my marriage, I want to lead as a father. I want to lead as a husband. I want to lead as a pastor. I want to lead the way God has designed me to lead in all areas of my life, of everything. I don't want to hold anything back. And I think that's what moving from ordinary to extraordinary is all about. We can't lead without our heart. It's going to be on your screen. Can't lead without your heart. You got to have your heart in it. If your heart's not in it, then find a different position. I heard Dr. Conlon, it's Carter Conlon's wife. I heard her say something the other day that was so extraordinary. She said, "We're not called to have titles, but to have towels." And it's about serving. And a lot of people want titles. And if they don't get a title, if they don't get that recognition, they don't want to serve. It's not about titles. It's about the towels. Jesus took the towel. He washed the disciples' feet. Peter's like, "Hey, what do you think you're doing? Don't wash my feet. You know, I don't want you to do this. I should be." And Jesus said, "Hey, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not going to have any part of this ministry." Peter said, "Well, then start from my head and don't stop. Wash my entire being." We can't lead without our soul. Everybody say soul. We can't lead without our mind. Your mind's got to be made up. You cannot be, listen, you cannot be double-minded in this. Because then, we're going to be talking about in a few weeks, when chaos comes, Lord have mercy. If you're double-minded and chaos comes, you're going to find yourself almost to a breakdown. So you have to have your mind made up. We can't lead without our strength. Yes, we've got to have our own strength. The Bible says in Proverbs, and I shared this with Brother Gene years ago, the wise are strong. The wise are strong. So we've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But we also have to have our own strength. When we learn to lead from all four of these dimensions, we free ourselves to lead more fully. And it's amazing how this transition takes place, because what's happening is and I love this, what David Craig used to say, we're hiding behind the cross. I'm hiding behind Christ. I'm behind Him. He is the leader, and I'm following Him. And I think that's beautiful. So how do I apply this to my life? So what? Now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message, tonight's message, from ordinary to extraordinary? How can I make it count for life? Well, remember, our life point is this. To lead others well, we must first lead ourselves better. How many is going to say, I'm going to lead myself better. I'm going to make some, you know, why do we wait? Brother Dale, why do we wait till the first of the year, right? We call them resolutions. Why not just start right now? Start today. Start right now. So the first thing to do is to accept the responsibility of leadership. Accept the responsibility. If you're a parent, guess what? You're a leader. If you have a younger brother, younger sister, guess what? You're a leader. If you're a Christian, how many Christians do we have here? You're a leader. You lead by example. Extraordinary leaders are other-centric. Other-centric. Extraordinary leaders recognize that leadership at its core is an act of service. By the way, I salute Brother Dale being in the service, being a Marine and going overseas. And it's an act of service. And that is I think we should do more of this. But the Veterans Days are great to see. You know, my stepdad did tours in Vietnam, and then I had another stepdad that was in the Marines, and my real father was in the Air Force. And so, you know, I've got family members, uncles that were enlisted and saw action. And so I'm grateful. My beautiful wife's great uncle was killed, Orrin, was killed in battle in World War II, and her grandpa on the Davis side, he was wounded, got a Purple Heart, and he was, you know, in World War II as well. And I'm thankful for that, but it's an act of service. I think we've lost that. Have we? How many has ever experienced bad service? Just raise your hand. At a restaurant? How does that make you feel? Pastor Carl said to me the other day, he said, you know, food prices have like doubled. And he said, you expect me to pay double for food and the quantity is less than it was before, but on top, some of you are preaching with me, but on top of that is bad service. We experienced that last Wednesday night. Bad service. I mean, Lord, help us. And a lot of it's not an individual or company, or it's just a lot of dynamics that go into it. But I think service is important. Jesus modeled this leadership in his followers. Everyday life. Every day he's leading. Don't take a day off. You can't take a day off. The second thing to do is to keep your eye on the big picture. Everybody say big picture. So let me pause for a moment. What is your big picture? What is your big picture right now in your life? What is your big picture? Only you can answer that. Don't allow things like stress to turn managerial strength into micromanagement and impatience. I hear that word micromanagement quite often. But don't allow, you know, things like stress and worry and all those things to turn managerial strength into micromanagement and impatience. And maybe we'll cover that a little later. Don't allow your task-oriented in nature to see the work, your task-oriented in nature to see the work that needs to be done before seeing the people who are doing it. Boy, that is powerful. That is so powerful. God, I repent. I repent, because when I look at that statement, I think to myself, I want to see the things done. I'm a doer. I want to see things accomplished. Some of you know me for many years. I want to get in and let's get to work and let's get it finished. And sometimes I'm a little pushy. Sometimes I'm not as tactful as I should be. I could be abrasive. And I could, like, even a praise team, I could say, hey, you know, and I know Haley knows this. she could attest to this. And sometimes I'm like, hey, no. And they're looking at me like, and I'm not seeing the people who are doing it. Because I didn't look at Haley. I'm not saying it happened, but I may have, you know, rubbed Haley the wrong way, and I don't realize that Haley had a hard day. And I'm like, well, I'm running. You know, I may say the same thing with my wife. You know, may have rubbed her the wrong way, which I've never done in my whole entire life. Yeah, she says every day. But I'm not seeing the people who are doing it. And God help me as a leader, as a pastor, see the people who are doing the work, the vocation of God. So what if we all determine tonight as we stand in this room, and don't lose your papers, keep them in a folder. I don't want to see them in a pew when I walk by. Put them somewhere and keep it, because we have to go back to this later. But what if we all determine tonight as we stand in this room to move from ordinary to extraordinary? I'm ready to make the move in some areas of my life. I want to move from ordinary to extraordinary. I'm ready to move a little higher in God and be willing. Isaiah says that in chapter 1, maybe verse 19, I'm not for sure where, but he says, if you be willing and obedient, you need the good of the land. I want to be willing. I want to be obedient to God and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm willing. Well, it begins where? It begins with me. I've got to be good. I've got to be better. I'm going to take care of myself. So let's do this tonight. Let's take our right hand. Let's just put it over our heart. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for me. We pray for ourselves right now. We want to be better. And the only way that we can do that is through the grace and the mercy and the strength that you have for us. Father, where there has been hopelessness, would you restore hope? Where there's been fear, would you improve faith in our life? Where there's been worry and stress, help us to have trust. Where there's been chaos, Father, give us peace. We want to work on ourselves. It's like we don't want to tell other people how to live their life if we ourselves are not living our life the way that you've called us to live it. So forgive us, wash us, and cleanse us from our foolishness. And let us, Father, run this race the way you've designed for us to do. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. I love you. God bless you. Take your right hand, put it on your shoulder. Take your left hand, put it on the other shoulder. Squeeze real tight, hard as you can. Don't pass out. That's a hug from me. I love you guys. I appreciate you very much. God bless you. Shake hands. Get married. We'll see you Sunday morning. You don't want to miss this message. The Doorkeeper. Shake hands and get married.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.